Hi, everyone. This is the Triple H NXT TakeOver WarGames media conference call, recorded on Wednesday, November 20th, and we are joined in progress, not of the all capital letters variety.
It's a massive event, and I believe with the card that we have, must see, and then Survivor Series the next night, everybody kind of working double, triple duty on this, but in a manner that is just sort of unprecedented for NXT, being able to step into Raw and SmackDown, being able to step into Survivor Series and prove their worth against everybody on that entire roster. So it's an exciting time. Tonight's show here at Full Sail on USA Network will be, I think, one of the best shows we've ever done, just based on the fact alone that we have confirmed the revival versus the Undisputed Era of what, for me, for many, I think is a sort of a dream tag match. But I know for me, certainly, I can't wait to watch that go down. That's going to be incredible and epic, I'm sure. If those talent do what they've done in the past, all of them, should be tough to surpass that. And then leading into War Games, you have a ladder match between Dominik Dijakovic and Adam Cole, who is on arguably one of the best roles of anybody ever right now, with everything that he has been doing and representing NXT with Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins and everything else that has happened. That ladder match to determine who gets the advantage at War Games. So the show is off to an epic start, and just, you know, Monday night opening up the doors, so to speak, to NXT and allowing everybody to the freedom to come here and kind of make their mark. I've talked to a lot of people. There's a lot of people on their way, especially top people that I think a lot of people won't expect to necessarily be a part of this, are on their way here tonight. And it should make for an epic, kind of unpredictable, crazy, wild, and exciting show. So with that, I'll open it up to everybody here and calls.
All right, guys, usual rules apply. One question, one follow-up, please. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1. As a reminder, that is one question and one follow-up. And we'll take our first question from Brian Fritz with Sporting News.
The new mic.
Hey, Paul. So,
get in early.
Hey, Brian.
I got to shut that guy out. Come on.
It's competitive now. It's the phone call wars. You guys are, yeah.
You have no idea what happens behind the scenes even, too. So Survivor Series obviously is a specialized show, but what is the plan, if any, for having NXT talent on future WWE pay-per-views going forward?
I don't think that's the intent. You know, I think the intent is to, and not that it won't happen, certainly, ever. I think that's clear. Never say never here. As soon as you say never here, we do it. But the intent is for NXT to be what it's been and be its own standalone brand, being something different, a different feel, different texture than Raw and SmackDown, who hopefully will have their own different feels and textures as their own individual brands. And this is no different. This is a moment in time. Survivor Series, I think, becoming that one time a year maybe where all these brands can get in the same place, same time, and go against each other. I think that the split should be more defined after Sunday. But I think it's a great opportunity for everybody to show on the NXT side anyways, that especially for, you know, maybe some of the fan base that hasn't had a chance to check it out yet, what they're missing, and show that they can hang on that level with everybody. I mean, when you look across the board, first of all, when I look across the board at Raw and SmackDown, I say like some of the most exciting and invigorating sort of things in the last few weeks have been the inclusion of NXT and that talent base. It certainly played out on that first episode when we had travel issues. You know, and I think it's been consistently since then some of the exciting and great parts of the show. But I think it's a time for them to step up now. And when you get to Survivor Series, you look at some of the biggest matches on that card, and I think part of the inclusion of NXT is what makes them feel so big, having the Undisputed in that triple threat tag match, having Roderick Strong in there with Shinsuke and AJ. Like those matches feel bigger because of them. To me, the Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler, Bayley match, you take Shayna out of that equation, the dynamic changes. You put her in that equation, and that's must see. So that inclusion, I think, is very strong. I think you have to be judicious with how you do that. Otherwise, it just becomes more of the same. So having the occasion when those things can happen, if you're judicious with it, then it is super meaningful.
And what's the update on Johnny Gargano and his health? Is there any kind of timetable for his return?
You know, day by day right now, I'm hoping it's soon. He's hoping it's soon. This is I can't even tell you how many takeovers in a row that he did. And like, he is just gutted missing this one. I'm gutted for him. This would have been an epic match and a big moment with him and Balor. But it is what it is. And he's sort of day to day right now. It kind of goes by how he feels. There's nothing there that is like a structurally concerning or anything like that, but it's just a management of the symptoms and trying to get him past all that. So that's the update. Is it's day to day, but hopefully it won't be too long.
Gotcha. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Mike Johnson with PW Insider.
Hey, Mike.
So
you're not first, you're last. Yeah,
I know. I'll get Fritz next time. One of the interesting things about the last couple of weeks is that you've had the tri-branded build to Survivor Series. I wanted to ask you, what's the tug of war like between the NXT creative team and Raw and SmackDown creative teams when all this is being put together? How much of a voice, obviously you have a major voice in everything, but how much of a voice does the NXT creative team have as all this is being built, so nothing that is happening in the Survivor Series build is cannibalizing or compromising the build to War Games?
Yeah, look, part of the creative team down here, like I got me, I got Sean, I got Road Dogg. I'll put that up against Heyman and Bruce Pritchard. You know, if we have to go in the office and crack some heads, we're good. We can get what we need done. It's a working, you know, there's a collaboration there, and it's a working process, in a way, look, some of this was planned and some of this was like the nice, you know, you stumble upon something really cool, right? Out of chaos. I always had anytime something happens where there's some chaos around stuff, to me, I always feel like it's when the best stuff happens, it's epic. And you end up creating greatness out of that. So this isn't one of those situations. And I think everybody's been kind of trying to feel it along, but you know, there's no real, it's a funny thing when you're on the outside looking into it, you can read into it and say the egos of this, egos of that, no one wants their brand to look bad, whatever. It's not that bad at all. We've just all been kind of on the same page of, hey, let's make this happen. And you know, you also have to work around the availability of who's there, who can be there, who can't be there. So it's been a collaborative process, but it's been really fun and really great to do. And what's been challenging about it is sort of, under the guise of live television, and even, you know, you get to Monday night and it's 3 hours. And as you guys know, and you love to report on, things change last second on Raw. When you get, you can't really fully bake Wednesday until you've gotten to the end of Monday, because a change is a domino and it just rolls down. You know, you tap the domino over and everything else falls and you got to start over. So you can tentpole things out in this case for the Wednesday, but then you really have to see what happens on the Wednesday. And does stuff go the way you thought it was gonna? Does it end up the way you thought it was gonna? And then what are those changes? So it's been a fun collaborative process and exciting at the same time, because you're kind of a little bit going by the seat of your pants to try to make it all happen. But to me, I always feel like that's when some of the coolest stuff happens.
All right. And then I wanted to actually ask you about the NXT TV show. You guys have been on USA Network about 8 weeks now. What do you think's been the biggest learning curve for the entire NXT team, and what's been the maybe some of the stuff that we don't see in front of the camera that you felt had to be smoothed out over the course of the last 8 weeks as everyone gets into the new groove?
What's been pleasantly surprising for me and exciting is our talent, and by that I mean in-ring talent, have just sort of seamlessly made this transition to live. There's a big difference between live and, you know, hitting time cues and, you know, for us and kind of knowing that this was coming, that's stuff that we've been working on a lot and we work on all the time because, you know, you have that with Raw and SmackDown, and if guys are drafted or whatever, or girls are drafted, they have to have that skill set. So it's something we work on all the time. But to see it happen live, to see that transition and the smoothness of it happening, I feel like I'm jinxing myself but saying it, but we haven't had a show yet where, I've been like, ah, man, we really missed that commercial break spot, or we really missed this, or we really missed that. And understanding also that on NXT on Wednesdays, a lot of times, you know, we're not running with the same crew. And I mean that from every standpoint, from producers to directors to every single thing behind the scenes. We're not running with the crew that is constantly doing this live with Raw and SmackDown a lot. We're doing it with teams that are, and I actually like this about it, but we're doing it a lot of times with teams that are still cutting their teeth on live product and doing this. So we're all kind of learning this together. But it's been a fun process. And it's been super collaborative and on everybody's part, but also kind of stepping into the detail of what you get number-wise and seeing how things transition differently for NXT than they do for Raw and SmackDown. So when you're going segment to segment, when you're coming out of commercial breaks, when you're coming back into commercial breaks, different things like that to see how the audience reacts. And funny, a lot of ways, the same audience and similar people, but they react differently to the different shows. And that's been a learning curve for us, which is an exciting learning curve because it's kind of allowing you to dig deeper into how people consume the product, which is really at the end of the day what we do. And, you know, I think that changes globally depending on the market you're in. But it's interesting to see it changing here as well.
And we'll take our next question from Martin Hoffman with Sport One.
Hey, Martin.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Good, man. Yourself?
Very well. One section that also came in at the NXT SmackDown Raw War was Imperium, who were mainstays at NXT UK. Can you tell us a little bit something about how that deal came about? Who made that call to bring them in during the UK shows, and how was it received? The things they've done there.
It was incredibly well received, both from a fan point of view and from an internal WWE point of view. It was a suggestion that I had made that look. When you talk about this moment in time of Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT and everybody's going overseas, but NXT, we're not, you know, not like we're looking to fly the entire roster over there for a show and then bring them right back. And there was a lot of, so what do we do with this? And my point was, well, NXT's got tentacles everywhere, right? So we're in the UK. So let's get the UK involved in this and let's get them some exposure as well. The intent of still growing that brand, of growing that NXT UK and all through Europe and making that bigger. They knocked it out of the park. Walter, that whole crew, and they're all big stars. And to me, they will all make an impact, all of them. They're on the ground floor of creating something new. But again, like we did with NXT, I don't want it to happen where it's this massive go forward rush and then it burns out. It needs to be a long play. It needs to grassroots and it needs to build. And that's what we're doing with it. And I'm really excited where the project is. To me, there's a team that's over there. And I know that you know about some of the people that are working on this show, from Jim Smallman and the crew there to, you know, Sean going over there, Sean Michaels, and sort of taking a chief role within that product itself, and it shows, and the product is exceptionally good, I think, and their inclusion in Raw and SmackDown in this build to Survivor Series is proof of that, because they all look like they belong, they all look like they should hang, they didn't look like they were out of place, and that's really the goal, is creating this all and building it up one step at a time.
One thing that also interests me, the one who isn't already part of Imperium might be in the future, Ilya Dragunov. What can you say about his progress doing in the NXT UK universe?
Yeah, he's amazing. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think you saw it when we had Cesaro over there, and and they worked like, I mean, he's an incredible performer. He's got a bright future, and I look forward to working with him more and more. And you know, for a lot of the talent there, but look, Dragunov's a little bit different because, and as with Walter, they've had a bit of more training with WXW over there, and part of that process. But for a lot of these guys over there, they didn't have the deep level, especially of television training, that a lot of other people have. So their transition to jumping right into that, and there's a tremendous difference. So them jumping into that with both feet, but being a sponge and being so successful at it so quickly is awesome to see. I'm proud of all of them, and I think they all have amazing futures.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Alex McCarthy with TalkSport.
Hey, Alex.
Oh, how you doing? You okay, Paul?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you very much. The first thing I wanted to talk about, you know, when we sat down together in Cardiff and had a chat, and we were talking about you potentially being in the ring for NXT, it would seem like the stars might have aligned in some people's eyes with the Survivor Series and things like that. You know, there's still some matches and teams to be fleshed out for Sunday. Has that idea been kicked about at all? And is that something where, if it was going to be any time, would that have made more sense to you?
Could you repeat something? I missed a little bit of that question. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that as far as Sunday goes, you know, when we spoke in Cardiff, you said that you didn't really want to perform in NXT or under that umbrella. But has that idea been kicked about at all for Survivor Series? Because it would make a degree of sense, of course, representing that brand like you do.
Oh, yeah. So you're asking about me as a former. I'm sorry. That was where I was losing the question there. Yeah, no, I have no interest in that. I have zero interest in that. Matter of fact, if somebody came to me right now and said, "Hey, you should take that spot," I would fight that vigorously. I don't need to be a part of this. NXT is about youth. NXT is about the future. It's about the success of a new generation of star. If ever there's a moment that you can add to that and help that get to another level, obviously you want to do everything you can to make it happen. But for me in this moment, it's about others. I want them to shine on this stage. I want them to have this moment. And I know that at War Games, there's an open slot on the Ciampa team. That's going to be a day of when people find out, I believe, but it's going to be epic. And people will be very excited.
Awesome. The other thing that I'm very excited about, of course, is the news of NXT UK returning to Blackpool in January. I was at the last show. It was tremendous. Can I just ask, is this going forward going to be an annual thing, Blackpool in January, and why the move to a Sunday?
So that was an internal decision. Within WWE, of moving it to a Sunday, there were some business reasons and determinations that were made for moving it to a Sunday. Wasn't necessarily a choice. To be honest, I wasn't involved in the choice of that. We had options of days, and internally, for the network reasons, it was determined that Sunday was a better shot. I'm thrilled to be going back to Blackpool. I'm thrilled to be getting back there for a takeover. You know, I know there's a lot of clamoring for different things in not just the UK, but internationally. And a lot of that is happening. It's just behind the scenes. There's a lot of movement happening, and people will read into that and try to make it bigger than I actually mean it. But there's a lot of movement, and we're looking to come into those markets more. We're looking to come to the UK more. I'm looking at making the NXT brand in the UK as big as the NXT, you know, the overall NXT show here is in the US, and doing that in other places as well. So it's internationally, there's a lot of growth. Blackpool has been awesome for us. The fans there are intense and loud. It's an amazing building. There are so many of them over there, but I look forward to being there, and I look forward to the, you know, watching those guys tear it up.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, it's no secret some guys have asked for their releases, and there's usually a couple of ways of handling that. Some would say if they're not happy, let them walk. For the most part, you guys have chosen to enforce the contracts. Can you talk about the strategy of doing that?
Yeah, look, I think it's a tough – so there's a lot of times when a lot of this for some talent, some of it is legit, some of it in a moment of time. I think when you get to the bottom of it, like, I don't understand people airing. If you have an issue, talk to us. If you think, oh, you know what, I'm going to go put that on the media, that's not a way to go about doing your business. If I had a complaint with a talent, I don't go on Twitter and complain to them. I speak to them. So I've never understood that that process, if it's legit. Now, there are a lot of people out there just getting clicks. I know you guys can understand that. let's throw a headline on something. Hey, watch this. I'm going to break the internet. Click. Right. I watch guys do it all the time. I watch guys do it all the time. Sometimes I wish they wouldn't. Sometimes they just think it's funny. Right. Like there's a moment in time where they hit something and it gets them a ton of buzz and they go, yeah, and I'm just messing with people. You know, it is what it is. People will say what they got to say. But for us, as far as there's also a lot of talent that I think there are moments in time when things happen. People get frustrated. They say some stuff. It's like any long-term relationship. You say some stuff. You later, like, I don't want to see you anymore. And then you come back a few minutes later. I was just mad at the moment. And like, of course I want to stay in this relationship. And, you know, it is what it is, right? There's a silliness to it. To me, there's a maturity issue of it's not how you handle business. Anybody that's out there that is serious about it, that's talking on the internet, like that ain't the place to do it. We all have phones. We all have cell phones. We all have, you know, you handle your business like a professional. Everybody likes to think we don't like to stick to the word, and everybody wants to say professional wrestler. It's a key word in the front of that professional. That's what we're trying to change about the business and make people more professional.
Also, Tommaso Ciampa was interviewed by Brian Fritz about his recovery from surgery, and he had an interesting line saying that everyone understands that if the option is to wrestle 200 times in 1 year or wrestle 40 times over 5 years, then it's a simple choice. Can you tell us what the plan actually is for him and just how often he's able to wrestle?
Look, right, and so with anybody's health, when they've had significant issues, then you become much more closely monitored, right? And it's a moment of seeing how he feels, seeing how his recovery is, seeing how his health is, him working to change maybe some of the things in his style, and not necessarily him. He's not like the craziest risk-taking stunt guy out there, but there's a certain point in time we have to monitor that. Look, when you go to the internet and you start to talk about all the people out there chattering about medical this, medical that, 90% of them don't have a clue what they're talking about. I'll put our medical system up against anything in the world. I'll put ours up against any sport in the world, our medical and our wellness. That's what we're here for. We have one commodity, that's our talent. We're looking out for the best of their health, but it's a physical business. So when guys get injured, when girls get injured, we take them the best care of them possible. We get them to the best doctors. We get them the best rehab, and we get them back if that's their choice to do. depending on the schedule they can handle, depending on what they want to do, depending on how much they want to be out there. For as many times as you hear somebody say the schedule's too demanding, there's other people that are telling us all the time, I'd rather work. I'd rather be on the road doing this. It's I know for me, time off was like almost the worst thing. Like the sort of the callus falls off and you, everything affects you more. So, you know, it's a personal choice for everybody. I don't think everybody is the same. I think everybody's different. I think there's certain points in your time where everything is different. When I was 25, I didn't want to go home. I wanted to be on the road every single day. And I think the changes for people, lifestyles change, the points that you're at in your life change. So we work with everybody. And the schedules are manageable for most. You know, and the top, when you're on top, the demands are higher, but that's also part of the gig as well. You know, everybody wants to be the top performer, but that comes with responsibilities and commitments and everything as well that you have to be willing to take. And sometimes people don't want to take those as well. They just, you know, everybody wants to be the supervisor, but no one wants the responsibility sometimes. And so it's all stuff that you have to work around. Everybody is different. And you know, when you're talking about managing a couple hundred talent, it's a full-time gig of keeping them all healthy, keeping them all mentally straight, of what they want to do and motivated and everything else. So it's a lot of work, but we have an incredible system and an incredible team that does it. And again, I'll repeat, I'll put it up against anybody in the world, because to me, majority of the complaints or people talking, they're just doing that. They're talking and they don't have a clue what they're actually talking about.
Thanks for your time.
And our next question comes from Connor Casey with comicbook.com.
Hey, Connor.
Hey, Hunter. Thanks for taking the time today. We're seeing a lot of these champion versus champion triple threat matches this Sunday at Survivor Series. I'm curious, was there ever a conversation to have Adam Cole involved in a triple threat with Raw and SmackDown's world champions Brock and Bray?
Yeah, you know, look, those conversations early in the process took place. There was a lot of debate around things, but I think when you finally got to it, like the Lesnar Ray story, Mysterio story was so strong that how do you step away from that to go to something else? Like, it almost feels like that one needs to take place now. And then once you did that, it started to change the dynamic. Now it's not brand versus brand versus brand, or however you want to say that. It changes the dynamic. So everybody kind of morphed into their own spot. You know, the Fiend being what that is, and it almost works cleaner to have his own unique storyline. So, you know, Adam Cole will be in the show. Adam Cole will defend the championship, obviously, you know, reliant on everything going well at War Games and everybody being healthy. But there's a triple threat at War Games between Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and Killian Dane. The winner of that match will face Adam Cole the next night for the NXT Championship. And look, I'll say, to be honest, I would greatly look forward to any one of the three of those.
Awesome. And Adam, how do you feel he's handled the spotlight? He's been in some really key matches on Raw and SmackDown, and like you said, he gets to defend the title of Survivor Series.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Adam Cole. You know, and look, I don't mean to just single him out, but that's who you asked about, right? Because there's a lot of talent here that I could say the same about. But, like, consummate pro, represents well, well-spoken, smart, you know, he has it all, and there's no place that he's been in the last month or two, and he's been everywhere. He has represented, you know, on short notice, not the easiest of requests, right? On short notice, he gets in there with one of the best performers on the planet of Daniel Bryan and just tears the place down. You know, he then gets in there with Seth Rollins, tears the place down, gets in there with, you know, all those people, all those brands on short notice and carries it, gets to Fox, goes on the backstage show, represents himself incredibly well. I have people calling me and sending me notes all day long about Fox, about, God, this kid's a star, and, man, he represents so well. And, you know, he just has it. He's humble. He's smart. He's a sponge for the business. Wants to know everything that there is about it, as good as he is, wants to know everything and more. He's a leader. He's a leader in the locker room. He just, you know, he just has it all. And so it's hard for me to say it any other way than I can't say enough good stuff about him. As somebody asked earlier, I'll just add to that. Somebody asked a question earlier. I made the mention of professional. There you go. Adam Cole.
All right, guys. We'll take our next question from.
Oh. I'm sorry. This next one will be the final one.
And our next question will come from Kelly Wells with PWTorch.com.
Thanks, as always, Paul, for having us.
Yeah, well, hey, we'll do one, guys. We'll do one more after this. Sorry, we just looked at the clock wrong here. We'll do one more after this. Sorry. Thank you, Kelly.
Okay, so you touched on this as far as the talent goes, but working toward two major shows on back-to-back days has presented some challenges in booking as well. Was NXT's involvement in Survivor Series a long-planned event that you were able to prepare for, or was this a late addition that caused kind of some shifting of parts and calling of audibles as you geared up towards the weekend?
Both. I was talked about quite a while ago of the inclusion of it and it, you know, being all three brands and sort of being Raw versus NXT versus SmackDown. So that was always a part of the conversation. It was challenging even in that conversation because obviously we have War Games the night before, already out there, already built, already promoted, everything else, right? So there's obviously challenges to that. Now, as we get closer and that becomes even more of a week-to-week on television, that increased the challenges, right? Once we did the first show where it was a full-on SmackDown invasion of NXT, that changed the scope of the involvement of NXT in the shows on a week-to-week basis and an overall story writing arc. So it was a bit of both. There were some loose plans there. I just have to say loose, but like there were some plans there, but it wasn't fully baked and it wasn't as deep as it ended up being. But again, I believe that we, in a moment, came across an opportunity in that moment of us having travel issues and needing to pull the trigger on something bigger. We did it, and it created a tremendous opportunity that we took advantage of.
All right. And as far as talents from UK, NXT's gotten some great use out of like Rhea and Kaylee Ray and British Strong Style. And this is to allow for fresh matchups and I assume the purposes of cross promotion. So when these talents come over, is there a long-term plan in place for them usually, or is it a matter of maybe seeing how well they catch on with the audience and that might dictate the length of their stay?
Well, it's a little of both. Right. It's a little of both. Where do you need them? Where can they benefit the most? Do they get to a point in one where to grow more, they need to be in a different location? There's a bit more full hands on and we can get deeper into the learning experience with them here and kind of finish putting that polish on them here in Orlando as opposed to, you know, London. So it's sort of a work in progress of where they sit, where they are. You know, you see it with Pete Dunne was kind of the foundation of the UK brand over there in a way, with many others, obviously, but a key figure in that. And then, you know, we use the opportunity with him there to cement the brand and then bring him here to kind of finish that level. Now, he was coming and going between here a lot anyways, for us to work with him at a greater level, but now he's here full-time in the U.S., working out of Orlando, training with us here. The goal long-term is, I mean, the sky's the limit for him. And I think that's for a lot of people. You know, Rhea Ripley, you see somebody there, you see them in, she's another one that, like, in the Adam Cole vein, just the consummate pro, as is Pete, sponge for the business. The learning curve is incredible. So you want them to learn, and then when they get to a certain point, take that next step and continue to grow, not stagnate. So, you know, the call was made, let's bring her here, and she can do a little of both for a while, and then get her in line here. We're going to do that and evaluate talent one by one to where they should be and what's the next level, not only for the brand of NXT in the UK, the brand of NXT here, and where they fit, but also for them. What's the best learning curve for them? There's a certain point in time where you reach a certain place where you are, where the best thing for you to do is go someplace else and continue that learning curve and learn something new and something more from different place.
Thanks, Paul. Looking forward to the weekend.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take our last question from Somak Adhikari with India Times.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. Somak here. Hi.
How are you, sir?
Sir, I'm good. So I just had one query. So do you think this expansion of NXT is so? What in the long run, how is it going to benefit WWE? Like, do you see it becoming more global, becoming more international, and spreading over the world much quicker?
Absolutely. You know, I think I've spoken about it at business partner summits and to Sports Business Journal and other, you know, outlets. But like, to me, the long-term goal of this is to expand the NXT brand globally. To much like we did, you know, U.S. Then branched into the U.K. And we learned a lot in that process, a lot. The next movement is to go to more and more places. India, and I'm, you know, use that as an example, obviously, because this affects you. But India is a key place that I'd like to be. Obviously, it comes with a lot of challenges and a lot of, you know, hurdles that U.K. helped us learn, but also it's completely different place to do business. So excited, very excited to continue to get that rolling. And I think there'll probably be some announcements, you know, hopefully in the short term, but of us making movements in different markets around the world, and whether that be some established markets or whether that be some brand new markets where we're going in there with a localized product, localized talent, and creating, you know, in India, creating an NXT brand on the ground in India with Indian talent and also talent from around the globe that can really resonate within in the country itself. That's the goal, long term. That is the goal.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Sure. And hey, thank you very much. I know, you know, India, I'll say this and you can put it out there. I thank the people of India. It's an amazing place. And, you know, they love WWE there so much. And when we send talent there, and Charlotte just returned from there last week, and I just spoke to her a couple of days ago, and, man, she fell in love with India. You know, she couldn't stop raving about it. She couldn't stop raving about the experience. And it's nice. And I feel the same way every time I've ever been there. It's such a beautiful place, and the people are so wonderful to us.
Actually, you should know, when you beat Jinder Mahal here, most of India was supporting you because we all grew up watching you. So we were wanting you to win, even though you were taking on Jinder Mahal. And I was there at the stadium. I saw you, and we all celebrated when you won.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Again, it's an amazing place, and I thank you for being such amazing fans. And we can't wait to get there in a bigger way. And it's coming. Trust me, it's coming.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap up today's call. Thank everybody, as always, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully, I get to see a lot of you in Chicago. It'll be a busy week. Friday night with SmackDown taking place in Chicago. Saturday with TakeOver. Hopefully, I'll get to see a lot of you there at TakeOver and get to speak to you, if not before, after the show for sure, in the media room. And we'll all get together and chat. And, again, I thank you all for your involvement in this, your investment in it, and your time. So thank you very much. I look forward to seeing everybody in Chicago.
We'll be doing another call on Saturday night after takeover. For those who are going, we'll grab you from your seats. Otherwise, we'll send out call information on Saturday afternoon. Thank you, everybody.